Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, May 21st, 2009. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. I know it's early in the morning for many of you, but please call in. Any questions or comments are welcome. You can send me email at comments@libertytalkradio.com, comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll answer your questions on the air. I encourage you also to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. That too is a numeric two. His weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, it's absolutely free of charge. It's the absolute best in the business. I can tell you, I've been investing now for many, many years, and I've read just about every newsletter. This is concrete stuff, easy to understand. He explains the macroeconomic situation so you'll understand where we are and why we are at the point in time that we are. And he also has a subscription service, and he makes some excellent recommendations, one of which I took advantage of and did very well. Thank you. And and I also suggest that you subscribe to that. It's not that expensive. I don't know what the cost is right now. It's a subscription on a yearly basis. And Andy is very approachable. He's the type of guy that you can call up and speak to him if you have any questions. Wonderful. And he really is a super honest, good guy. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com, and I may be on it next week. Yay! You know, who knows? He invited me to be on there, so if I feel a little bit better because I'm still recovering from my hip injury, and it still hurts like the dickens, I tell you, this has been one of the more painful things I've been through. I broke broken bones and stuff like that, but they seem to have healed much better than the contusions that I experienced. Oh, lastly, I'd like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I have a couple of emails here I'd like to discuss with you, just very briefly. I have one here from Leonard, and Leonard from Detroit, I think. Leonard writes, and he says he has an idea to tell Congress, and that's to give away, raffle off cars. And he goes through all the mathematics. He says no banks involved. He says they just raffle off the cars. People, well, there'd be 4,000 tickets per car and $5 a ticket. So I guess that would make that $20,000, but about the cost of the car. So basically it wouldn't cost them anything. And they can just give the cars out. He figures if they can do that to 1,500 cars a month and over 12 months, that's 18,000 cars a year. He says $20,000 per car times 30 cars is $600,000 per month in sales, and $600,000 times the 50 states. Now, that would be in each state, by the way, is $30 million. That would be a boost to the economy. I think it's a great idea. The thing is, Leonard, I mean, I don't think they need permission. They can do that anytime they want. Well, maybe they need permission now because they're all under the guise of the government, but because they accepted all the government funding. But I think they should try that. I mean, why not raffle off cars? Just see what happens. If they don't get enough participation, they can kill the program, and they can tell people that we're going to do that trial for, let's say, 3 months. They have very, very, very little to lose, and people will stand a heck of a better chance of getting a new car than they would on the lottery. You know, lotteries are like so many million to one, and very, you know, sometimes people, there are no winners, you know. It's amazing. I have here, there's another organization called GOOG, Get Out of Our House, and they're a terrific organization. They're watchdogs, and they want a clean house. And boy, do we need a clean house. Folks, it just gets worse. And you know, it's becoming bifurcated. There are a handful, if that many, of congressmen and senators who are saying, oh, wait a minute now, this we can't do this. And like Ron Paul, for example. But they are so few and far in between. It's unbelievable. And the rest have just gone hog wild. They are they're traitors to our country, every single one of them. And he says here, he said, this is so painful, and the worst part is that we know it will not stop without our action. Do we deserve what we get if we allow this to continue? And he's absolutely right. He talks about Alan Spector, you know, changing sides because he felt he had a better chance of winning with the Democrats. Yeah, what a lame excuse. I mean, that guy should have been just thrown off the stage. Absolutely no respect for the guy at all. Absolutely zero, zero respect. And yet they call him the honorable. How honorable could he be? I'm changing of party affiliations because I stand a better chance of winning with the Democrats this year. I mean, what kind of philosophy is that? What kind of political ideology is that? You know, I go where the votes are, you know, not what's right. I mean, and they call him honorable. I call him dishonorable. And in this article, he calls him a traitor. And I agree. I agree, Goo. He's a traitor. And then we have John Murtha, who's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. And he steered $30 million in equipment to a little-used airport ahead. He named after himself. Listen, after himself. According to the Washington Post, $150 million goes to the airport using only it's only used by small commuter planes that make six trips a day back and forth to Washington. To make it worse, as if it wasn't bad enough, he is accused of steering contracts to a family member. That's arrogant. Damn, that's just damn arrogant. You know, and we're not up in arms. I mean, it'll take a revolution, and I think we need a revolution, folks. And then he talks about Nancy Pelosi. Now, folks, I think Nancy Pelosi has got to be the dullest knife in the drawer. I mean, this woman's got nothing upstairs. She has never said anything that made any sense. It was all like cookies and cream. Well, we do this because of that, baby, baby, baby. I mean, she just sounds just very, very ignorant. No, I'm sure she's not, but she just absolutely has nothing upstairs whatsoever. And then, with the Truth Commission, with the CIA, she's calling, saying she didn't know about torture. The CIA says, you know, hey, we told her, and there's no one at all that's coming to her defense. So you have a whole department of, you know, tons of people, you know, several people, maybe dozens of people, who are not coming to her defense. And she says, well, they told me, but I forgot, you know. I mean, what garbage. I mean, she's just an outright liar, but she's stupid. She's a liar, and she's stupid. Yeah. And these are the people we have in office. So we have arrogant people, we have traitors, and we have liars, and these are the people leading our country. And Goo, you're absolutely correct. You should subscribe to their service. It's GOOH. Get Out of Our House. I mean, it's a fabulous organization. All right, well, enough of the email. Today I want to talk a little bit about green. I guess what just obsessed me about this whole subject is how stupid it is. We put name tags on everything. You know, if we want to save the environment, then we have to go green. So then everyone has got to be green. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. No one could define what going green is. No one can. No one could define any of these things. It's like the war on terror. It's like Al-Qaeda. No one could define it. No one could even find it. There is no such thing. But we use it as an excuse to initiate government programs that restrict our liberty. And that just hacks me off. I don't know where the stuff stops. I mean, are we going to get like England that gets to the point where we have cameras on every street corner watching every person doing everything? And then if they don't like the way you walk, you may fit a profile and you're called in by the police because you may be a suspect because of the walking profile? I mean, you know, this is getting so stupid and ridiculous. No one realizes, and not many people realize, that our liberties are being infringed upon. And this green stuff infringes upon our liberty even more. I even hate the word green. Now, before you get off and say, like, well, I'm anti-saving the planet, you know, let me tell you something. I do more to save the planet than most people. I mean, I have enough money that I can do whatever the hell I want. And yet I ride around on a motorcycle that gets 55 miles on a gallon. I recycle everything. I freeze in the wintertime, and I sweat in the summertime. I mean, my utility bills are the lowest of anyone that I know. I'm very, very conscious. I recycle everything, and I just don't buy a lot of crap. You know, I mean, my carbon footprint is large. I mean, all of America's carbon footprints are large. Mine is minuscule. You know, and I really am concerned about the planet, and I think that we are custodians of this planet, and we should all do our best to preserve it the best that we can in our lifetime. And I'm with that program 100%, but we should always have been that way. We should never be abusing the planet. We shouldn't be dumping cyanide in our rivers and our oceans, or mercury or whatever it is. We should clean everything up, or we should not produce it at all, or find an alternative way to produce it. And I'm with that program. But these people who go green, all of a sudden you have government programs that make absolutely no sense. You know, the big one is the cars, you know, and of course cap and trade, which is another stupid idea, absolutely stupid idea, where the bureaucrats are going to be paying each other off. It's going to be bribery city at the highest levels of government and industry through all the industrial military complexes in each country. They're going to be trading this crap off, you know. And yet, when you think about it, if you think about green, what about the federal government going green? Just think about this. Just think about aircraft carriers. I think now we have 12 or 13 aircraft carriers circling the globe constantly with about a dozen support ships. And the support ships are not nuclear. They're diesel-based. They suck up so much fuel. That's why we don't have enough diesel fuel for our trucks here. Our military sucks up all the diesel fuel that we can make here in the United States, distill here in the United States. You know, and this is going around 24 hours a day. Now, is the government going green? Are they going to take the smokestacks from their warships and make them clean? They're going to put scrubbers on them? Hell no! They'll burn whichever way they want, you know? Well, it's for our defense system, military. We can't do that. You know, it's for our defense. It's our men we got to protect. You know, we have all these stupid labels, absolutely stupid, idiotic labels, and we are becoming such a stupid, idiotic country that we actually memorize them and we repeat the stupid, idiotic labels all over again. So I say, if we want to go green, let's start at the government level. And let's get all our troops home, park all of the aircraft carriers, save maybe just a couple, three. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and one on the Gulf Coast, right? You know, within the 3-mile limit. And it just stays there. And it goes back and forth, you know. And we don't need a dozen support ships. None whatsoever, because it's so close. If something should happen, bingo. You know, our fighter jets should be on the ready 24 hours a day. If anyone comes near one of those ships, or is it a missile or whatever, we can fire it off and we can protect it from the ocean. So we can get rid of, let's say, 200, over 300 support ships belching out tons of toxic of fuel waste from their smokestacks. We can get rid of that immediately if we just brought that home. First of all, we would save a tremendous amount of energy. Tremendous amount of energy would bring the price of fuel oil down, I mean diesel fuel down, so industry can survive here in the United States, and we wouldn't be antagonizing all the countries around the world. I mean, just think of a simple solution like that. That's the right thing to do, because we have no right infringing on other people, because we're the damn evil empire now. And when those poorer countries, and each country is poorer than us, now they see these gigantic aircraft carriers passing by their shores, that's a frightening sight. I don't know if you've ever seen an aircraft carrier, folks. They are gigantic. I mean, you can't imagine how big those suckers are. They have 3,000 to 5,000 sailors on each one. 1,000 sailors. 3,000 to 5,000 sailors manning it. And should one of those aircraft carriers get hit and sunk, we will lose billions and billions and billions of dollars. In fact, I'm going to have on this program a fellow that I think is absolutely fascinating. He was a chief on the deck of a nuclear-powered aircraft, and he talks about his experience there. You would not believe it. You would not believe. He asked me a question. He said, "How many planes do you think an aircraft carrier loses per year?" And I said, "Well, probably maybe 3. You know, I don't know that many 3." He said, "No, 1 a week. That's over 50 airplanes a year on one aircraft carrier, times 13 or whatever that comes out to be. That's what 600 planes. You know, times $44 million a plane. Look at the incredible waste." And if you want to go green, putting a jet plane in the ocean is polluting. So we constantly pollute the ocean, and many people die, and they never broadcast it. I mean, you can find the statistics, but it's never broadcasted. And he had the most dangerous job on the deck. He had the most dangerous job. He got paid the highest pay and most respected guy there, and he was the chief of the guys on the deck. And he's got thrown off a dozen times. He got thrown off deck. Thrown off deck, and he says he was picked up each time by a helicopter. He was very lucky to be alive. Most of the people he knew who worked with him were not alive. Now, so we talk green. The government talks green. Well, let's talk green. Let's stop all this stupid war stuff. How about all these airplanes that we have flying and these drones and all? They all take fuel, and all they're doing is antagonizing people. But you know, the government wants to talk green. How dare they? How dare they? You know, I saw an interesting video. It was a speech by Robert Murphy at the Heritage Foundation. He's an economist for the Institute of Energy Research, and he's very good. And he said, you know, the government wants to make people, force companies to go green. He says, and he says it this way, he says, it's as if, you know, companies, you know, auto companies have been ignoring or not ignoring, but have overlooked the fact that going green or making things green, not all companies, but all companies, going green was, was very, very profitable. And they just seem to overlook it for the past, you know, 20, 30 years. And now the government has to remind them saying, hey, guys, you know, you can make more money than you're making now if you go green here. And here's a prescription for it. He says, do you think that happened? He says, no. He says, it's ludicrous. His point is that it's not profitable to go green. You know, people say windmills. Look, think about this for a second. If you want to put a windmill, you know, in, let's say, New Mexico, what segment of the population are you going to serve? Well, there's very few people in New Mexico. You can serve some of them, but you're going to have to transfer that power to maybe Chicago, to some big center somewhere. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you know, as you know, as electricity flows through lines, it loses a certain amount of its wattage, and you lose juice as it goes through the line. Well, when you have something generated, you know, in one state, and it goes far beyond that state to past many other states, by the time it gets there, it's only a fraction amount of the power. That's never very profitable. So all of a sudden, the people in Chicago, instead of paying, I don't know what they pay, you know, let's say 10 cents a kilowatt hour, and that may be ridiculous, I don't know what it is, they're going to be paying maybe 20 or 30 cents a kilowatt hour. So you impoverish people. You impoverish people. You say, well, it's for the good of the planet. Yeah, it's for the good of the planet. How are you going to get the electricity there? Well, the best way is through, you know, straight line, the quickest way. But that means if you put power lines in a straight line from New Mexico to Chicago or to wherever, it can be much closer than that. What you'd have to do is everything in its path has to be destroyed. Because you can't put, you got to put the power line someplace. You can't go in and out zigzag. If you zigzag, you'll make the lines will be 2 and 3 times longer than they should be. No electricity would get there. So that means businesses and farms and homes and personal property all have to be confiscated. Now, and save me the eminent domain crap. It'd be confiscated by the government. Why? Because these jokers in Washington are getting paid big money to do this. They're not doing this for our good. They're doing it because they're going to be funneling money. They're going to be giving money out selectively to companies. And those are the companies that are in turn supporting them during their election. They give the money out according to who supported them or who will support them. And they make these deals back and forth. It's a big fraud. So we wind up paying for their election campaigns. They get in and then they steal money from us. And then not only do they steal the money from us, because it takes a lot of money to build this green crap, you know, then we got to get taxed, taxed via higher electricity cost or, you know, energy cost on a monthly basis. And we get it double, triple whammy every single time. We get a corrupt government, we get higher taxes, and then we get higher fuel bills. Now, does that make any sense? Now, if that happens, what happens to the economy? Well, if I have no money left over, just think of the logic here. Forget about all the mumbo jumbo. I was going to give you all sorts of, you know, economic stuff. Let's throw all that aside. Let's just look at something very, very simple. Let's assume that, you know, I'm Joe Blow, which that's who I am, Joe Blow. My name is Joe. I don't know if I blow, but, you know, I guess I blow on the radio station. I blow a lot of hot air. But I'm Joe Blow, and I'm just about making it. Now, I'm a little bit more fortunate than that, but I'm 66 years old, and I worked all my life, and I saved, and, you know, so I'm a little bit better off than that. Now, not much, but a little bit better off than that. But most people are just about making it. They're raising families. You know, they hope they don't lose their job. They have bills. They have a certain amount of debt that they're trying to pay off. That's the average American, and many of them are much worse than that. So all of a sudden, and they buy certain things. All of a sudden, their electricity bill comes in, and it's $50 or $100 more a month, plus their taxes go up. Now, stuff that they purchased, folks, they purchased on a monthly basis, could be anything, they no longer have the money. So they pull back. Now, the government also says, we got to get the consumer to spend. Remember that. You know, these clowns are pulling us in 14 different directions. So now Joe Blow here doesn't have the money maybe to go to the movies, to, you know, a few things that he does that are disposable income stuff. So he doesn't do that anymore. So here he is, and he doesn't pay to buy all this stuff. I mean, little stuff that he had, little money he has left over that he for enjoyment. He has to stop doing that. Now, when he stops doing that, and he's not the only one. There are a lot of Joe Blows out there getting hit that way. All right, what happens to the companies that sell the stuff? They don't sell it because no one's buying it. Oh, by the way, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm Joe Cristiano. I'm blabbing here. We got 5 minutes left to go. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. I know we got 5 minutes. Call in, and we'll take you next Thursday morning, okay? Or maybe Sunday night as well. So he doesn't do it. So all of a sudden, stores start closing up. People start losing their jobs. Because no one's buying there anymore. Well, if the retail store closes up, that means the retail store is no longer buying from the manufacturer or the wholesaler. Well, the wholesaler is now hurt. Now, if the wholesaler is not purchasing as much, that means they're not buying from the manufacturer. The manufacturer slows down, lays off people. Now, is that a way to go green? Now, let me give you another situation. I mean, and this one is less severe. Let's say Joe Blow gives money to the cancer research every month, which I do, you know, and I give it to the Alzheimer's Association and there's several other organizations I give to. But I'm questioning that. Someday I'm going to do a program on that, but I'm not there yet. But I'm really having a problem with those organizations. I'd like to talk about that someday. But let's say so he does that every month. Now, of course, he's giving his disposable income. He's not going to make his kids starve to give money for research. So he gives it $10, $20, $50 a month, whatever it is, you know, to the research. Now, all of a sudden, he doesn't have it. Because he went for an electric bill. So he the solicitation comes in the mail. He throws it away. He throws it away, right? Now, these organizations don't have money. They go to Washington and say, hey, our donations are down significantly, you know? And now the government says, you do important research. We've got to help them. So the government gives them the money. Well, now this poor Joe Blow is making his $10 donation anyway, but it's through his taxes. And if it's not through his taxes, it's through the debasement of the currency because they just print more money. So you see what happens, folks, is when the government gets involved, it distorts the whole marketplace. It screws everything up, you know. And going green can be extremely dangerous because if it was profitable, people would do it and we would all benefit by it. Folks, going green is the dumbest thing in the world. We should all try to go we should be as judicious as possible in everything that we do, in our manufacturing, etc. We should do that. We should make, you know, every penny count. We should be as clean as possible. We should initiate those programs that we can within our industry, in whatever we do, that doesn't affect, you know, the jobs and the standard of living of everyone else to do so. Because, folks, we don't know what is causing global warming. We don't know. And all of the top scientists will tell you that because the Earth is so complex, everything is so inextricably intertwined, we don't know if it's the CO2. Yes, CO2 is going up, and yes, we're doing a lousy job, and there's a lot of crap going into the atmosphere. But we don't know that. Now they suspect it's sunspots, and we're going to have a reversal soon, and we're going to go through a cold spot. You know. So can you imagine going through all of this, and then we go through like a mini ice age. So we impoverish ourselves, and then we go through an ice age, and we're not prepared for it because we didn't have the money to do so. Going green is going broke. It's stupid. I mean, from the government definition of it, we should all be going green, every one of us, every way that we can. Everything from the light bulbs to the type of car we drive to everything that we do. We should really clean up our act. Everybody. And I'm the world's number one best foremost ecologist. I'll tell you that. All right. Well, that's for this morning. We will be back here on Sunday evening, 8 o'clock, and we may have a guest. Hopefully, we're trying to get the maker of the flag, designer of the flag, the Veterans Flag of America. It's called the Spirit of America. It's a beautiful flag. He sent me a copy of it. I'm going to try to get him on the air on Sunday evening. All right, please join us Sunday evening, 8 o'clock Central Time. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchacres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to our friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, when I say allowing, that means do nothing. When you're striving to protect them, you're doing something, and we all have to do something. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.